all the people that got saved.
And Lord, we went out and preached to unsaved people, Lord, and now I'm going to preach to the saints, and Lord, I pray that you bless it. Lord, we love you, and we just want you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 1, it shows a contrast between two different kinds of people. On the one hand, the first three verses, it talks about people that are blessed of God. And on the other three verses, it's talking about people that are cursed of God, people that are not blessed of God. In verse 3, it says, "And he," talking about the person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, says, "Blessed is that man, that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now in verse number 3, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So it's saying this man is blessed. The reason why it gives it is because his delight is in the law of the Lord. It says, "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now in the contrast, it talks about different people. It's got another guy. And the other guy that's talking about is the ungodly. It says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So what I'm going to talk about is the difference between blessings and cursings. Okay? Now, like I said, Psalm 1 shows a contrast between someone who is blessed of God and someone that's cursed of God. Now, through the Bible, God gives us illustrations on what we need to do to fulfill God's will for our life. And He clearly lines out what we need to do to be blessed and what we need to do to avoid being cursed by God. Okay? Now, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Now, God clearly lays out in the Bible, it's a big book, and He gives us, the consequences for our actions, whether they be good actions or whether they're evil. He tells us if we do wrong, He tells us what our punishment's going to be, and if we do right, He tells us how He's going to bless us. Okay? Now, what are blessings and what are cursings? A blessing, and this is just what I thought of, is the act of doing or wishing good upon someone or somebody or something. You know, if I want to bless Brother Matt, I'm going to do something good to him. I'm going to pray and wish, good tidings upon him. Now, on the contrast, if I wanted to curse Brother Matt, I would do something bad to him, or I'd wish and pray that something evil would come upon him. Okay? Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, it's a long chapter. It's got 68 verses. Now, we're just going to start off at the very beginning. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee, this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now, if you notice at the beginning, it says, "If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." It says in verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then it goes on a bunch of different blessings. Verse 4, it says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep." In verse 7, it says, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways." It says a whole bunch of different things. Now, verse 1 through verse 14 talks about the blessings of God. Now, starting in verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do the statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So he says at the beginning, "I'm going to tell you, this is what you need to do as a nation to be blessed by God. And on the contrary, if you forsake that and you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to warn you on what the cursings are going to be coming straight from me." And it's got a verse in there I'm going to show you in a minute. And then it goes on from verse 15 all the way to verse 68. It's pretty much nothing but curses from God. So you can see it's disproportioned. The part that's blessing is small comparing it to the verses that are talking about the cursings of God. And a lot of times I think they hear, we have our sermons online and people are always like, "Why is your preacher so negative? Why are you guys always so negative? And you're always talking about all the bad things and, how bad this country is and all the sin that we have and all the sin in your life and all the sin in our country." But that's what God is telling us here, he's showing us an illustration. Look, there are some good things, there are blessings that come from God, but the cursings, there's more cursings that come from God as a result of our sin. Amen. Now, verse 20, it says, "The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." In verse 25 it says, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." So just like he said, if you're blessed by God, your enemies are going to rise up against you, they're going to come at you, and they're going to run seven ways. He says the opposite is true if you disregard my law. It's going to be the opposite. You're going to go before your enemies, you're going to be smitten, and you're going to go seven ways. Now, take your Bible and go to verse 38 in the same one. Same chapter. It says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law, of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God." Verse 63. And this is, I guess, where he really ties it in. "And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it." So God says he loves to bless his people. But on the same hand, when we do wrong, he loves to punish his people as well. And that's a message that today in all the churches in the country is not being preached at all. Amen. You know, you hear, well, God doesn't want to do this, and he doesn't want to punish his people, and he doesn't want to chastise his people, but the Bible says that God rejoices to do it. Now, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, some say that in the Old Testament, that God was a God of wrath, he's a God of anger, and a God of punishment. But in the New Testament, he's lightened up quite a bit, and he's not as, you know, critical of his people. But the Bible, if you know, these are people that don't read the Bible, because the Bible's got a lot of verses in the New Testament that talk about God punishing his own people. Now in chapter 12, verse 5, this is a pretty famous part of Scripture. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now get this. "Now no chastening for the present time seeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So in verse 6, God says that the punishment from God is a scourging. Okay? Now Jesus Christ was scourged. Paul the Apostle was scourged. And they're probably one of the worst beatings that he ever got in his life. So when we think of, like, you know, a lot of times I've even heard, like, you know, we're supposed to, like, God spanks us. Now, it says that he chastens us. I think it's more, it's not really, I mean, I spank my kids, but I don't scourge them. You know, a scourging is a complete, just, I mean, to me, it just sounds like a beating down to the ground. I mean, like, you know, Jesus got scourged with the whip. Paul the Apostle was scourged 39 times. And it just sounds like a beating to where when you're done, things are never the same again. You'll never forget it. Now, you know, I spank my kids, and I've given my kids some pretty good whoopings before. But you know what? They forget those after a while. When we get punished by God, their punishments and their scourgings that we never will forget, or we should never forget that we did that. Okay? Now, if you're in your Bibles, I'm going to read Galatians chapter 6. Go back two pages or a couple pages to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, that's just kind of an introduction. God does bless. He hasn't stopped blessing in the New Testament, and he hasn't stopped cursing people in the New Testament. Now, a curse means to punish or to inflict punishment or to wish evil upon somebody. Now, people say, well, God curses the wicked and the unsaved, but the Bible says that God curses, he chastises his own people. Now, and it all goes back to one of the most simple truths in the Bible. In Galatians 6, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So God says, and it's just, there's some verses in the Bible that everything kind of goes back to those one verses. You can all kind of tie it into a couple verses. And it's you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. And people think that they can go through life and do sin, and they can sow to the flesh, and they can sow to and be carnal, and do whatever they want, and they're still going to be able to walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. It's impossible. Right. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, where I had you go, these are the cursings of God. What brings cursings and punishment from God in the life of a believer? Now, I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about us, the saints, the believers, people that are already saved. What can we do to invoke God to punish us, to chasten us, to curse us? In chapter 10, verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of fiery of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, look at this, the Lord shall judge his people." This verse is talking to believers. It's not talking about God bringing punishment and judging people on the outside. It's God bringing judgment upon us as saved people. And it says, next verse, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." Now, just because you don't know something, so number one, what brings the cursings of God? It's willfully doing wrong when you know it's wrong. When you know something's right to do and you know something's wrong to do, and you choose the wrong thing, you know what you're supposed to be doing and you don't do it, the Bible says that God could send a curse upon you. In Deuteronomy, it talks about cursing your womb. It talks about cursing your job, your land, and tilling your land and not being able to bring anything. It talks about your enemies coming and triumphing over you and doing and hurting you, and God knowing nothing about it, just sitting back and letting it all happen. And God says right here, the same thing in the New Testament. Those are the same blessings and cursings in the Old Testament. They still apply to us today. If we do things that God blesses us, in Deuteronomy 28, that's the same way that He'll bless us today. In the New Testament, even if we do, you know, whatever, you know, if when we break God's law, the same cursings in the Old Testament, He'll still inflict on us today. Now, this was talking to the children of Israel as a whole, but I think that, you know, obviously, it could still happen to us as individuals as well. Now, just because you don't know something is wrong, or you don't, you know, you say, well, what if I didn't know that this certain thing is wrong, then God's not going to give you a free pass on it. You know, if you go around and you're doing something that's sinful, and maybe you didn't know it was sinful, then God's not just going to give you a free pass because you didn't know about it. You're still going to be punished by God. But if you specifically know that something's wrong and you do it anyway, it's like my son. Like, let's say Silas, okay? He does something that he's not supposed to do. And I give him a spanking. Maybe I'll spank him on the hand, or maybe I'll spank him on the rear end. And it's going to be a spanking, so that way he knows what he did was wrong. But let's say 15 minutes later, he's just doing the same thing. That next spanking is going to be a beating. He's going to know not to do it a third time. And God knows what's in our heart. He knows what we know. And He's everywhere. If He sees that we're doing something and we know we shouldn't be doing it and we're doing it anyway, or there's something that we should be doing and we're not doing it anyway, God's going to inflict us and God's going to punish us. He's going to scourge us to try to get us back on the right path. Now, but when you know something is wrong and you still do it anyway, that's when God says that He's going to punish His people. Now, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, the Bible talks about, I'll read it for you. It says, "I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not all together the fornicators of this world are with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner, with such as one know not eat. The Bible says that if we find out that somebody in the church is committing fornication, or they're a drunkard, or they're a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or an extortioner, the Bible says they're supposed to be thrown out of church. The reasons why is because people that do that sort of thing, they have a curse upon them. God is not blessing that person. God is going to rain down fire and brimstone. That guy's going to, what Pastor Ernest always says, he's going to cloud up and rain on him. He's going to curse that person, and whatsoever they doeth will not prosper. They're going to have bad things happen to them. And the reason why we get them away from us is because, you know how you always said, like, you ever been in a store and someone will blaspheme God? And it just hits you and you're just like, whoa. And you're almost like, I want to leave the building because if lightning strikes, I don't want to get struck too. That's the same reason why. We want to get them out because if God brings down punishment upon him, there's always people that are affected. Whenever you sin, you always affect other people's. And we don't want those people's sin to be lumped up with us. We don't want to be punished for what that guy is doing. You see what I'm saying? Now, the contrary is the same too. If somebody's doing right, and somebody's being blessed by God, those are the kind of people that I like to associate myself with. People that are soul winners. People that are read the Bible, and they're doing right, and they love the Lord. Because the Bible says that, you know, we should all be together, or you should have a like mind. Now, I don't have a whole lot in common with a bunch of worldly people, and people that are just completely backslidden Christians. And that's why I don't really hang out with them. I don't want nothing to do with them. And the Bible even talks about God blessing. If you're living a good life and a holy life and you're trying to do everything you can, the Bible talks about God blessing other people just because of what you've done. Now, the Bible says, I had you turn to 2 Corinthians 6. Now, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, God gives us a formula. He just doesn't tell us and give us a commandment on what to do. He also tells us how we're going to get that job done. Now, he says in the beginning, in Psalm 1, he says, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we hang around a bunch of ungodly people, and we keep company with all these wicked people, the Bible says that we're going to learn their ways. And the way we can not do that, it says in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, people and Christians now, they want to not be separate. They want to touch the unclean thing. And they still want to say that they're separated. They still want to be like they're a fundamental Baptist. And they're just a Christian. They're living a godly life. But at home, they're living a completely different life. They don't go soul winning. They don't do what's right. And they think that they're just the same. And they could be lumped up with another church and kind of ride the coattails of a bunch of other people that are doing right. Now, it says the reason why we're supposed to come out from among them, talking about, I guess, you know, talking about unsaved people and talking about worldly people or wicked people. It says, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I was thinking about this. What would make a believer willfully sin against God? What would make somebody that read the Bible, and they know what the Bible says, they know how God's going to punish them, and they still decide that they're going to do it anyway? Now, I know some people that they were in church for a long time, and they're not really in church now, and they completely and willfully made the choice to stop serving God, to stop going to church, and to stop doing anything for the Lord, even though they know and they believe that God's going to punish them for it. And they'll even admit that their life right now, they're like living in punishment. They're like, oh, God's scourging me, but at least I know I'm saved because God's, you know, why would you want to live like that? Now, the reason why that person told me that they're doing what they're doing is because it makes them happy. He said, I know what God said to do. I know I'm not doing right, but you know what? I'm happy, and I know that, you know, I know what you're saying. I know you love me, and I know that you're trying to warn me, but it makes me happy. And that's the whole mentality that most of the people in this world have, is that if it feels good, do it. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, the Bible says that that's what happens, is every man is tempted. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So when we are drawn away of our own lusts, of the own things that we just fleshly like to do, that's when the Bible says that we're going to sin. And the people that fall into sin are the people that are just doing whatever gratifies the flesh, whatever makes them happy. Now, you think about this, is you got people, number one, is because it makes people happy. Christians have this idea that they can sow to the flesh, and because it makes them happy, they can totally disobey God and get away with it. Or they'll say this, well, you know, after I'm done, I'll just ask God to forgive me. They'll say, well, you know what, I'm just going to do it, and then, you know, afterwards I'll ask God to forgive me, and God's going to be okay with it. Now, God might, you know, if you ask God to forgive you, He's going to forgive you, but that doesn't mean that the punishment's not coming. Right. And the more we disobey God, the harder that punishment's going to be. Just like with our own kids, if they come to us and they've done something very wrong, even if they're really sorry, and they tell us they're sorry, and they genuinely aren't going to do it again, or don't desire to do it again, it doesn't mean that the punishment... I'll even tell them, look, I forgive you, everything's okay, and then the punishment has to come down. Because if the punishment doesn't come, then God's a liar, because God says, if you do this, that's going to happen. Just like if we do right and God doesn't give us the blessing that He promised us, then God would be a liar, because God said, all you got to do to get the blessing is this certain thing. Now, in the same way, if we do something bad and God doesn't punish us, then what God says means absolutely nothing. Then He's just going case by case basis, but God doesn't do that. He says, if you do this, this will happen. Now, number one, I thought it makes them happy. And another one that I was kind of thinking of is in churches today, especially in a lot of, like, you know, I got some guys that I work with that go to these big kind of fun center churches, and they have no rebuke from the preacher. And this is the thing. They know that something's wrong, but they don't read the Bible anyway. They never hear it preached from the pulpit. So what they're doing, they never hear a sin preached from the pulpit. So even though they know something's wrong, they get kind of soft towards it, and they just don't think that it's that wrong. Like, people today don't think that fornication is that bad. They think you're going to shack up and live with whoever you want, and it's not that big a deal. And the Bible says that it's a big deal. It's probably one of the most preached about sins in the New Testament. In the whole Bible, killed two people for fornicating because God was getting ready to bring down judgment upon the children of Israel for doing it, and that person was applauded by God for doing it. Okay? You know, you think of things in the Bible. How many things in the Bible does the Bible say are an abomination to God? Now, there are things that are sins, but the Bible says there are certain things that the Bible says is an abomination. You know, we think of dress code. You think, it doesn't matter if I have long hair. It doesn't matter if, you know, my wife wears pants. No, it does matter. If my wife got up and she put on a pair of jeans, the Bible says that that's an abomination before God. The Bible says that if I grow out my hair and I got my hair as long as a girl, the Bible says that's wicked. The Bible says that, does not nature teach you that a man should have, I can't quote, I'm paraphrasing, you need to have short hair, okay? Not only that, the Bible says that a man should not put on a woman's garment, nor that a woman wear that which pertaineth to a man, okay? Now we can say, well, that's just not a big deal, that's, you know, later on in your Christian life, that's what we'll worry about, you know, that's kind of like the final step. No, it's talking about, you know, surrendering your life to Christ. You know, you think about birth control, and people just take birth control left and right. It's no big deal. You know, my wife said this. She goes, when I started coming to church, I just wanted to surrender my life as far as I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Women own really only have say in a few things as far as like what they can choose. And they can really, they have their womb. And they have, because I mean, they can, you know, my wife's at work. If she wanted, she could sneak in birth control. You know, I can't follow her around night and day. You know, when I was... You know, if I'm at work, she can put on a pair of, you know, bell bottoms or something and walk around. I have no idea. But this is a fact on her own choice. She has to make the choice that she's going to just completely just submit herself to God. She's going to give that over to God. And it's not a little deal. It's a big deal. Right. It's a big thing. It shows the heart. You know, people that don't go soul winning and they think they're okay with it, it's a heart issue. You know? Why do you do this and why do that? Well, it's just a little thing. No, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing. The Bible says it's an abomination to God. The Bible talks about it over and over. He says we need to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He ended all the gospels with it. He started the book of Acts with it. And we think it's just not that big a deal. We can do it whenever we want. Now, when it's 115 degrees, I'm sure there are a couple people out there that would have liked to have been doing something different. But if you read the Bible and you want to love God and do what God says, then you're going to do what God says. Now, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. So this is what I'm saying. The cursings of God are pretty much if we disobey God's word. If we disobey God's word, even if there's something that we don't think is that bad, if the Bible says this is wrong, then we need to do what the Bible says every time. And if we get to a crossroads, I always tell people about soul winning. When I got saved, I was 19 years old, I was a Roman Catholic, and somebody bring me to a crossroads that what I had been taught my entire life, I had to come to grips that it was wrong, or it was at least different than what the Bible said. And I had to make a decision in my heart, look, am I going to keep going with the tradition that I've always been taught because I grew up that way, because my dad's a Catholic, and my mom's, and my grandpa's and grandma's and all the way down the road are Catholics? Or am I going to make a decision for myself that I'm going to choose the Bible over tradition? Now, the same way applies to every facet of our life. If you're a guy that's got long hair and you decide, look, I know that I've always had this, my dad, my friends, we always had long hair. It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal. The church we used to go to, the pastor had long hair. You know, we need to decide that, are we going to make a decision right then and there? Are we going to go with what the Bible says? Or are we just going to do whatever makes us happy? I just like it better like this. I just like dressing like this. I just like not having any kids, whatever the case may be. Okay? Now, there are also things that we can do to where God will bless us. The Bible says in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, the Bible says right here that God will bless you if you read. It'll bless you if you hear the words of this prophecy. And it will bless you if you keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, I heard preachers say, and I think Chris probably heard this before, in, you know, the RU, they'll say, well, God never promises to bless people that read the Bible. He only promises to bless people that meditate on the Bible and memorize the Bible. No, God promises both. He promises if you read the Bible, he'll bless you. If you memorize the Bible, he'll bless you. If you meditate on God's word, he'll bless you. He says right there, blessed is the man that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, if you're in your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, God does bless people that read the Bible. And it's a command of God. It's not just a... Now, a lot of the blessings of God are things that we're supposed to be doing anyway. Now, just like my kids are good, and they're supposed to be good, and thanks to Pastor Anderson's sermon a couple months ago when he said that he'll give his kids a little treat if they're good, my kids, they heard that. And as soon as the service was done, they all looked at me and they're like, do I get a surprise? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so, you know. So, but they're supposed to be good anyway. But sometimes we bless them and we treat them for doing things that they're supposed to be doing anyway. Okay? Now, God's the same way. We're supposed to be reading our Bible. We're supposed to be hearing his word. And we're also supposed to be keeping his commandments. Now, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give thyself wholly to what? To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That thy profiting might be appear unto all. Now, God blesses obedience, sure, but God blesses in things, and he's such a good God, he blesses us for doing things that we should normally be doing anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of people, and I guarantee, we've seen them on Facebook, and you've seen them in these little chat rooms, they're people that they know all the doctrine. They know that it's after the tribulation. They know it's salvation by grace. They know all these. They know the Trinity. They know all these different doctrines, but they did no study on their own. All they did is they listened to a bunch of preachers, or they listened to Pastor Anderson, or Jack Hiles, or somebody else that taught the Bible, and they have not studied it out for themselves. And if they go out, they'll give you the right answer. If you ask them a question, they'll know exactly what to say. They're approved unto men, but the Bible says we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And God knows if we're actually reading the Bible for ourselves. And that's why God says that he'll bless. Because you can get by with listening to a bunch of preaching and learning the doctrine and going on the internet or whatever. And you can get by with, you know, learning. Even if just coming to church, you can hear it and you can make it. But the Bible says God blesses people that actually do the study for themselves. Now, there's a few things in the Bible, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I was taught by somebody else. But there are some things that I completely found out all on my own. I heard something that actually at the church that was preached, that was wrong. I went home and studied it out, and immediately, within like a couple hours, I found something out that I didn't know. And to me, it seemed huge. I couldn't believe it. I called my friend, I called my wife, and I was like, did you see this? I showed it to them, and they were like, wow, that's really cool. Now, have you ever had that same type of experience where you're reading in the Bible, and you actually get something out of the Bible for yourself? Where you learn something. You know, maybe you learn something. I remember I learned one thing. I went and told my preacher, and he's like, I preached about that like 2 months ago. And I was like, oh, maybe I guess I wasn't listening or something. I have no idea. But I thought I had figured it all on my own. Okay. Now, the Bible says that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Okay. Now, we need to hear the Word of God preached. Okay. We need to hear and be taught doctrine by the Bible, from the Bible by a preacher. Okay. Now, just in that big rant that God went on, that big tirade of if we sin willfully, we'll be, you know, fire indignation, a certain fearful looking for, a fire indignation. He goes on that big rant. The verse right before that started, the Bible says, the Bible is commanding us to go to God. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says that right before that, God's telling us to go to church. And the very next verse, he says, for if we sin willfully, if when the sinning willfully, he's talking about not going to church. Good. So we got people in here that go to church. We're all here right now. But there's also people that, even since I've been coming since October, there are people that were here that aren't here no more. And I hope they're in church. I hope they're in a good church. But there's some of them that aren't in good churches. And they think, and a lot of them, sometimes they think they're right with God. They think they can just read the Bible, and they can listen to sermons online, and they can, you know, still be right with God. But the Bible says, if we forsake the assembling, that's when the Bible says, for if we sin willfully, what sin? The sin of not going to church. The sin of not assembling ourselves together. And it says, like as the manner of some is, because there are people that don't like to do that. There's a preacher, it's the guy with the phony rapture, I think. He preaches that we're not supposed to go to church. We're supposed to listen to his radio program. You know, Harold Camping, I think that's what the guy's name is. Amen. And he's a heretic and he's a false prophet. Amen. And you can tell this, if you got a guy telling you not to go to church and you think that guy is like the Bible scholar, then you're probably dumb. I don't know what to say. Okay? Now, and go to Luke chapter 14. So number one, if we willfully sin and we do what's wrong, the Bible says that. Now, it seems really basic, like, oh, I know if we willfully sin. Okay? But the Bible says that if we do that, there's big punishments by God. And if you don't read your Bible, you're going to be soft to it. If you don't go to a church that preaches right, you're going to be soft to it. So it's important that you read your Bible, you find the best church that you can go to. You're here right now, that's great. But I'm telling you this, just like Pastor Anderson was saying this morning, you need to find a good church wherever that church may be. You know, if you have to travel 600 or 700 miles to go there and move there, it's better to do that than to let your kids go to hell and end up all worldly. Okay? Now in Luke chapter 14, what can we do to be blessed? The Bible says that God will bless you for reading, that God will bless you for hearing the Word of God. And Luke number 14, it says, then said he also unto them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. God blesses people that help people in a time of need. Now, the Bible says in Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that verse doesn't say that God will bless you if you give. It's saying that the blessing is in the giving. It said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the Bible's saying there, Jesus is explaining, look, it's better to bless people that and have no intention on them paying you back. Because let's say I, you know, lend $20 to Brother Richard, and then he pays me back $20, I'm just going to end up even. But if I bless somebody and I have no intention on getting it back, then the Bible says God will bless me from heaven. Now, which I guarantee is going to be more than if he just paid me back the $10 or the $20 that I lent him. Okay? Now, the Bible says that God will bless us for helping people in the time of need. And now we've all had needs, and we've all been needed help, and we've all, you know, been in hard times before. And so I know when I've been, you know, doing well, I like to help people, and there's been times where I haven't been doing well, and I've gotten help from other people. Okay? Now, I think that it's an awesome thing that if you have the opportunity to help people, to help people. Now, just like, you know, I know people that are completely against, like, giving money to the bums. And I don't give my money out to a bunch of bums on the side of the road. But if I see a car in front of me and they're giving him like a five and the guy looks kind of like a bum, you know what? I'm not gonna judge that situation, because who knows who that bum is. More than likely, he's probably like a drunk or a drug addict. But what if he's not? What if he really is genuinely a guy that's fallen hard times? Let's say he's a saved guy. And we're sitting there thinking bad about that guy because that other guy that gave him his own money that he worked for, he can do whatever he wants with it, and he gave him money. You know what? Maybe that guy in the car will get blessed because he did that. And who am I to think bad of something like that?
Amen.
You know? So, God will bless us for helping people in time of need. So this is pretty much the conclusion. Go to James chapter 1. And this ended up a lot different than the way I planned it in my head. But...
good. Going good.
But James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth then, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible says, if we do what God says, we keep his commandments, God says that he's going to bless us. You know, the Bible says that people that say that they're blessed of God, and say that they have this great spiritual walk, but they don't do the commandments. If any man say, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I mean, the Bible says that clearly. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's what the Bible says. So if you got these preachers that go out and they're just preaching the love of God, and oh, they're just always preaching the love of God, they're not preaching the love of God. The Bible says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. So if you got a preacher that's preaching the love of God, but he's not preaching the commandments, he's not preaching the love of God, he's preaching lies.
That's right.
Because his people that supposedly want to love God so much, they can't love him unless you keep his... if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we're not keeping his commandments, the preacher's not preaching his commandments, then the love of God is not being preached. You can say the love of God all you want, it's really lies from the pulpit. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now the Bible says, it says, this man shall be blessed in his deed, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now in Revelation 1:3, don't turn there, it said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. The Bible says, if we keep God's commandments, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, blessed are they which keep his testimonies, and that seek him with their whole heart. So it's pretty simple. You keep his commandments, you get blessed by God. You don't keep his commandments, you don't get blessed by God. Now turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now just like I said, it all goes back to the reaping and sowing. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap life. You know, and sometimes you don't... you know, I talked to somebody and they said, well, I just... and they've lived... They're a worldly Christian. Okay, they're not living a good life. Okay, there's a time when they were living a lot better, but now they're just not. You can't even argue. He can't even argue it. And he said, well, I for like 3 weeks now, 4 weeks, I've been reading my Bible. I've been trying to do right, and it just feels like God isn't answering my prayers. It feels like I'm not being blessed by God. And I said, Mike, you're not, because if you're being blessed by God, you know, you reap what you sow. And sometimes when you sow something, you don't really reap for it for a while. And I told this guy, I said, just keep on doing right now. Later on, you're going to start reaping what you're sowing now. But right now, you're just going to have to endure, and you're going to have to endure chastising. You're going to have to endure what you did back then, because you always reap what you sow. And you plant a seed in the ground, even just naturally, you plant a seed in the ground, you're not going to... You know, my kids, they plant like a tomato seed, and they look at it every day like they expect something to pop up immediately. But it's going to take a few days for it to happen. If we sow to the flesh, we might reap it later on. If we sow to the Spirit, it's going to take some time for things to start rolling in. Okay? Now, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. Ecclesiastes 12:13, and I'm pretty much done. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It says, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. It's saying, let me just sum up everything I've just said for 12 chapters. Let me just put it in a couple verses for you at the very end. He says, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So this is the point of the whole thing. Read your Bible, come to church. What you hear preached from the pulpit, look it up for yourself. Make sure that it's good. Read the Bible for yourself so you don't even have to look it up. You read the Bible, you hear it, it bounces off you. You know what's being said is right. If it seems a little weird or it's something you haven't heard before, look it up for yourself. When you find out that it's right, do it. And if you get the chance and the opportunity to be a blessing to those around you, then do that. You know, I had a friend of mine that always said this one thing. He always said, you know, if you stumble or if you go backslide or if you do something wrong, he always said, you know what, I like to tell people, just do the next right thing. If you do something wrong, you know, just forget those things and just do the next right thing. You say, well, I did this yesterday, I did this today. Well, what can you do tomorrow? You know, do the next right thing. Just start all over. Start with a clean slate. Start sowing to the Spirit and you'll reap unto life. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible, and thank you for this church. I hope, Lord, that I helped, and Lord, I really love you, and I want to do your will for my life, Lord. Help me to take heed unto myself, and to just be.